You what?
I didn't realize how you were seated.
Oh, man, it don't matter. Bro, when you're in the zone, nothing matters. It's 2023.
Yup.
Yup.
Damn.
Can you believe career fair is coming up?
No. That was fast.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we just went.
I know. It just feels like yesterday.
For real.
But good luck to everybody.
I guess.
Hope you get a job. Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not. We'll
or
see. Tough world out there.
If you don't, then at least get an experience.
I think places are still hiring.
Yeah. I mean, looks like it. So.
Maybe. I mean, they're still building.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I know
that hasn't stopped.
Well, I know some projects that are put on hold because of the...
inflation?
Yeah, it costs too much now to build.
Damn. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Welcome back to another week's episode.
Weeks. Diana.
It feels good to be back, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we had a lot of...
I'm going to go reward myself with that Thai place.
Oh, the Moulins?
That's what I've been thinking about.
Yeah, that place is good.
I was like, dang, I could use some grub after all these recordings. Yep. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's good to get back into it, kind of knock them out.
Yeah.
Knock them out on a nice, slow, easy 50-degree Saturday.
Yeah, it's not that bad, actually. It's a good weather. Yeah. Finally, Dallas.
I know, right? So let's prepare some of these fools who are getting ready.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, so the career fair is coming up, and we've done a lot of stuff on that. But I was just thinking how I saw someone... I saw someone on LinkedIn. They had like fourth internship.
Oh shit!
Like, hasn't even graduated. And I, like, to me, I haven't, because I did an internship, but like that wasn't really an internship.
Yeah.
So I was like, dang, that's a lot. And I was thinking about, like, I guess how they're even capable of like juggling all that,
mm-hmm.
like four different internships within like a couple years, whatever. Maybe it's like one a summer,
mm-hmm.
but then also like how much more prepared they'll be going into like an office because they've already been in an office so many times.
Uh-huh.
I was just thinking about that.
Do you think it's good or no?
I still don't know.
Part of me, the first thing that came to my mind was like, as long as you get as much exposure, I think it helps anything,
but
by being exposed.
But at the detriment of what, though? Because then your schoolwork's slacking. It may or may not be lacking, but it might be. Because, man, these dogs. Just.
I know.
Break a few bones. I didn't say that.
It's not a laughing matter.
But. So on that topic, there was a post with some tips. So we actually never did a portfolio. Well, we did a portfolio one, but then we never posted it.
For what?
Portfolios.
Oh, you mean like in school?
Yeah.
Oh, but so, people's been posting them lately, huh? I've been seeing a bunch of people posting their portfolios on LinkedIn.
Yeah. But that's because, you know, it's that time. So they're trying.
I know,
to,
like, I never did that. That's good.
That's true. They are getting kind of ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
But so we have a post that says 7 tips for architecture design portfolio. We'll go through. We have some other posts that we want to talk about, and eventually we're gonna get. This is finally the time when we're gonna get into, education versus practice and some major key factors, between the two and go more into types of drawings and things we do eventually. In future episodes. But so like people who have already had these like internships, like, and have that experience and that work from offices, I think it'd be important to be including that in their portfolio. So
yeah, definitely.
So one of the 7 tips, we're going to start it off, tips for your design portfolio, is obviously to choose your best work, right? I think less is more. My first portfolio, I had literally every project I had, like from SAC and then from like my first year at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like if you're choosing the best projects that you have that still show some development and some growth, like four or five projects, that like what do you think? Like is that sweet number? Because you wouldn't want like, you don't want like a pamphlet with just like three pages, but you also wouldn't want like eight projects in there. Because yeah. we've mentioned this, what are the odds of them actually going through every single project?
They don't. No.
And even when we went, like, we didn't.
No,
because you only have...
We kind of did.
Well, we kind of did, but I feel like we
did skip, though.
Because you only have a certain amount of time
right,
in that right. interview. So choosing your best work and then choosing the layout and organization of what project goes first, what project goes last, yeah.
is important. It's like... eye catch or yeah. how do you say it, right?
Yeah.
Something
that catches your eye.
Something that's going to catch their eye to the fact that they're going to remember. It's going to create a conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? That way, whenever in the follow-up email, they're going to mm-hmm. be like, oh, this is a person that had, I don't know, the perspective that had a bunch of colors, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to remember something like that.
Something students don't do, but people are always mentioning when doing a portfolio, is to be catering or create a portfolio specifically for whoever you're showing it to.
Uh-huh.
That's tough to do for like a career fair because it's too much. All you have is work. But for professionals who have a couple years in, if you're trying to apply for a multifamily firm,
oh yeah,
then you want to be showing work for multifamily. If you're trying to show something for like education,
yeah.
or whatever it may be, you don't want to be having. I mean, if you're going to a company that only does concrete, you don't want to show projects that are all out of wood.
Like, no, but if you're trying to switch to concrete, you know, like this is how much knowledge I know on construction. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't have knowledge for concrete, but
sure.
I do have knowledge on this other stuff that, you know.
That's true.
It could be helpful.
That's true. The construction type, that makes a good point. Their second tip was... to have like a minimalist portfolio. But it's funny because the first thing it says is like the employee client don't have time to wander through all your work. They want to see your best stuff.
That's why it's minimalist.
And as little of it as possible.
Minimalist, yeah. though.
Well, instead of having 10 projects.
Yeah, right.
Like you
don't have like three.
You reduce it to 3-4.
Because pretty good
like
ones.
We said, they don't have, like everybody thinks that. Yeah. Nobody's going to have the time to go through it all.
Yeah.
Something I've always added that they mention is, like, how many times have you seen someone's portfolio and there's like a page or two of like text?
Oh, like, yeah.
It's no one's reading it.
No one's going to read it.
I always like having like a general scope of work under each project and a little description regarding. And sometimes like you have to like make it up because it was 2 years ago and you don't even remember what it was.
Yeah. But at least like, do like the main thing on your project, but like it's also about the personality mm-hmm. of the person. If you know how to speak, if mm-hmm. you have passion, mm-hmm. Your goals that you explain on, you know, these things, mm-hmm. like be more open to that, to share, because then they'll realize where you want
to
be.
You're trying to make it
tells
more
a lot.
Personal
rather
than just a description of the project.
Yeah, if you can connect with them, they'll remember you.
Yeah, that's true. Have you ever added any collaborative work in one of your portfolios?
I haven't touched my portfolio. That's a goal I should add to this freaking thing.
To update it?
Yeah, I haven't touched it.
Would you keep any schoolwork in it? Or would you only have professional work?
Yeah, I'll keep my school, but I'll make it way better.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Man, I don't think I got time for that, though.
Well, I would just pick like one project. I wouldn't do the rest. You know, like obviously you need to show what school was and how you have been progressing.
Oh, so in a new portfolio, you'd have one school project, but then the other projects would be professional.
I would do two school ones. One, like,
okay,
like not that good. And then I would do like the bed one.
To see like day and night.
Yeah. And then
studio one, studio five, and
no,
then
but you know, like kind of like abstract shit, right? That mm-hmm. you start in that you don't know what a wall is. Pretty much. It's mm-hmm. like that process so you can show how you've been progressing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least to, maybe for myself, because I don't really think that the people, like, if I'm applying for another job, they're not gonna care for that. They care for like what have you done and what do you not what to do.
Yeah. No,
what is that you know how to do? Mm-hmm. Sorry.
They're just trying to see some sections and see if you know how to
put a building together.
Use the program and put the building together.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody wants to have someone show up with like nothing or something that like not even readable.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I just think like how people say like, no, whenever you, I don't know how many people have actually fixed their portfolio after graduating. Yeah. I think that's a low percentage, I bet you.
Yeah.
I haven't touched it. I haven't fixed it. But that doesn't mean I'm not great. I'm not good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually that's just going to be like a portion of your life that has passed. That well, is there.
But you have to revisit it eventually because you can't be using the same portfolio from when you graduated to be applying for jobs. Like
no, obviously, but I'm not going to show that. I'm not going to show my work for school mm-hmm. to apply for a job.
That's what I'm saying. You have to revise it and add or take away or make a new one.
I made a new one.
Yeah, I made a completely new one.
Yeah, because there's no, like, you don't need to.
I just use all renders.
If I'm applying for school, then yeah. But I will add both school and work, right? But if it's just work, nah, that school is gone.
Would you separate them into two different ones? Or
for what? Like, if I'm applying for school?
Sure.
Like an
educational versus professional?
Well, it depends because you know how they have to have like a certain MB or to upload it.
Size limitation.
So if it's like not that much, I would just combine them, put like two and two projects.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, like two projects from school and two from work or something.
It's gonna be too big of a file. Like, you know it will be.
No, yeah, but like you.
The school one's already too much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I probably delete.
Yeah.
And then combine them somehow, but like very minimalistic.
Mm-hmm. Some others, they're pretty straightforward. Just consider like grammar and font. I mean, like,
yeah,
that's embarrassing. If so, one of our PICs had seen one, and like the grammar wasn't
good.
Like all that on a like a resume,
uh-huh.
Not even the portfolio, on the resume, and people are gonna look the other way on that. Number five would be to embrace negative space. So there's a strategy then trying, you know, rather than filling every square inch of the page with your work, mm-hmm. having like neutral colors and white space. I mean, that's what we learn in school. Obviously, to have the PDF online and physical, and what we've been saying, well, that we don't do, but to constantly keep updating it because you're always making new work.
I know. I need to upload my new shit in issue.
On issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever using issue again.
No? I still have my whole shit there.
I do too, but I don't think I would ever upload it.
Yeah.
I thought issue would be a good space to like... Yeah, still send it. Like, you send the link,
mm-hmm.
but, like, to be found.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's... Nobody's going on an issue looking for potential hires.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Posting on LinkedIn how you've been seeing it would be a better...
Yeah, like, option.
I'd rather just send them my LinkedIn link, and then they can click on it, and it takes you to issue or whatever.
Yeah.
Because on LinkedIn, it would have all your experience. Like, it's basically your resume.
Exactly. Yeah,
I think that's a
that's better.
Yeah,
definitely.
There's another post explaining, I don't know how accurate it is, but says this is how an architect's fee structure would normally look for your next $1 million project, because that's all we work on, $1 million projects. So if the construction budget is $1 million, it says the architect's total share is $100,000. The consultant fees would be $20,000, the overhead working cost $32,000, the profit would be $8,000, and then the money available for salaries would be $24,000. So out of, I guess, the $100,000, after paying everybody, you're only left with $8,000 in profit, and then you have $24,000, but that's for paying your employees. And so it says, if you're wondering why employees in architecture firms are paid less, it's because usually only 2% of the whole fee is left to spend on the salary, because all the money is being paid to all the consultants, the engineers,
right,
the architects, going back into the project, mm-hmm. especially if they're over budget and then mm-hmm. the company needs to take a toll. And it says that the answer to this problem is BIM, which can reduce an architect's working cost by 50%. Well,
what do you mean by BIM?
Well, we know what BIM is, but
right.
we're already, my thing is like, we're already using BIM and I feel like this, that's what I was this gonna is say, still like, a problem.
Where's the difference? Like, that's going to reduce it. Like, he's saying BIM, right? But like how you were saying, we are already using it. So that's why I'm like, then what does he mean by BIM?
So those numbers I said earlier, right? The overhead working cost, 32,000. Yeah. Well, supposedly if you use BIM, you can minus 50%. So now you're only spending 16,000 mm-hmm. on the overhead cost. And then you can add that 16,000 to the money available for salaries. So the salary money goes up from 24,000 to 40,000 to pay your employees.
Uh-huh.
So if you use BIM, your overhead working costs, because production's faster,
mm-hmm.
you can subtract 50%. So you're spending less money on that, and the money you're saving can go towards the money available for everyone's salary.
Yeah.
But if we're already using BIM,
then BIM needs to be free.
Well, I think the real solution is people need to get more efficient.
That too.
Using BIM. And there's there's a lot of conversation of how if you're using BIM, then that makes yourself more valuable.
Now, like, it makes me think all of this because BIM is
building information modeling,
right? But like,
you know what's funny? You know what's really funny?
Mm.
What we're doing using Revit is really not even BIM.
What is it then?
It's just modeling, 3D.
Oh.
Building information modeling mm-hmm. is when the modeling has information within the parameters that makes it smart.
I mean, we do by a wall and all that.
Well, yes, but at the same time, it's not. Like, there's... Mm. If you want to create like a... So it's... Yes, Revit's BIM, but it's not like true BIM. Mm-hmm. Because you can edit a window and you can change the size.
Right.
And it automatically changes because you're inserting that information into the modeling.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be done at a higher rate
mm-hmm.
and more intensive to be true information modeling.
Oh, I see what you mean.
But if you're just drawing walls and putting doors, like, that's just modeling.
Right.
But if you're setting up information within...
Like all the filters...
Well, I think it's more like...
Legends.
Parameter... Or legends,
schedules.
Or like schedules.
Yeah.
If you're doing that at a higher level,
oh yeah,
that's what truly makes it like information BIM, modeling. Right.
Now I was gonna say, like, can you imagine all of these firms that are not even using BIM?
Yeah, good name.
Like Revit, like that have like AutoCAD, mm-hmm. all of these different programs. Like, that's like a lot.
They're doing too much work.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, the profit is like it's minus. Well,
so in CAD, what they're probably doing is like they set up a legend and like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 is this, you know,
yeah.
One is whatever. W1 is a certain size window. W2 is a different size window, and you know.
Yeah, it's copy and paste.
Right. So then they have to go and copy and paste like throughout the entire project.
They already have their own like.
Source, yeah, but yeah. You can't just tag all, or you can't like just tag it.
That's what I'm saying.
Where the information modeling like really comes in handy. But the thing is, like, if like in a lot of our projects, and it's mainly, I think the template needs to get worked on. But like, if you just tag the door to begin with, like, it's not gonna match like what the door should be tagging as. Like, it'll tag as like 1834 instead of tagging as the actual door number that it says that it is.
Oh, right.
Because the information isn't fully embedded. So then you have to go and edit the type and put it in.
Yeah.
But if that's already there to begin with.
Yeah, it would be way faster.
It'd be a lot quicker and the schedules would be able to get done to begin with.
Yeah.
So these are some numbers that architects should know from a different post. And this is a page, one... is TOX. mm-hmm. That's heavily pushing like people to like apply for different BIM professional courses and to really learn BIM because it makes you more valuable. You can get paid more. There's a post somewhere that describes the salary difference between someone who actually knows BIM and doesn't know BIM.
Mm-hmm.
So some numbers we should know are 1.6 trillion. So this is the money that the construction industry loses out on every year due to the lack of technology adaptation. The global economy is, it says 37 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a 1.63 trillion productivity gap. And then the global construction sector is 25 an hour. So it's the average value added by employees per hour worked. And the source is McKinsey report in 2020. So we're, 2 years old, but.
That's a big gap. So apparently
there's a 1.6 trillion gap because of companies' lack of advancement using technology, mm-hmm. using old methods or different programs that are being outdated. 89% is the percentage of architecture firms that are expected to be using BIM and digital tools by 2024.
That's pretty good though.
That's good, but then it's already 2023, and if you're getting out of school and 89% of the firms are using BIM and you never learned it in school, or you've been working at a firm that has never used it and mm-hmm. now it's 2023, 2024 and you're trying to switch jobs,
mm-hmm.
you're at an extreme disadvantage because you're right. not part of the 89%.
Right.
That source is from the Dodge Smart Market report. And then 40%, which is the difference between the average income, here we go, of BIM skilled professionals and other architects. So an architect will make X amount, mm-hmm. and then a BIM architect will make 40% more.
Of that amount, yeah.
An additional 40%, that's on average.
That's a lot.
Well,
not a lot, but it's a...
That's a lot, that's a lot, but I also don't see it being that true because the amount of experience that you have is really determining.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Like, difference. Does the BIM lands into like more knowledge too? Because technically, if it's BIM, they do have more knowledge.
Well, sure, but
like if electronically per se, software, not about like a project.
Yes, but think about it from like personal experience. Someone has 2 years of experience and I have 2 years of experience and I know BIM and they don't,
uh-huh.
but we both have 2 years of experience and we're both new, mm-hmm. then we're probably going to get paid the same.
Right.
I mean, you can try and leverage the fact that you know BIM, but you don't know anything about this other person because you're new. And I mean, unless you have that conversation, but then you're going to go, you know, to the superior behind everybody's back and try and leverage yourself. But then that makes yourself look bad.
Yeah. That's not true.
I don't know. And the next number being zero, which is the number of excuses left for architects to not embrace technology and digitization. And then six, which is the number of months it will take for you to master new age BIM skills and secure your future. You think it takes 6 months to learn Revit
actually,
or a BIM software?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does because...
How well?
And
why? Interesting.
Because when I was in my first job, it took me about 6 months to learn it, to get it good, mm-hmm. to move faster. And you could tell the difference. I was taking longer, obviously. And then within 6 months, I was like actually now meeting the times, right? Mm-hmm. So I do believe that. But we'll see. I mean, from this January until, I don't know, June. We'll see how much I've improved in Revit.
How would you be able to tell like the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you just like go back in your brain and be like, oh, 2 years ago I was like a 2 in Revit and like now I see all the work I'm doing and I'm like pretty decent.
Probably because
or like is there like levels to like knowing Revit or BIM software?
Yeah, because last year, like a month ago.
A month
2 months ago, I don't know. I've been modeling more, and before mm-hmm. that, I was honestly scared. Like, I couldn't understand it as much. Mm-hmm. Well, I was able to understand it, but I guess I didn't know I knew. Like, I thought I didn't know. So yeah. Now I've been modeling and I'm like, oh, I'm connecting them. It looks cleaner. Like, I know what to do.
Okay.
So you could tell, I could tell, like, that moment I was like, oh, shit, I'm actually doing it now.
I'm actually doing it right.
Yeah, exactly.
What have I been doing this whole time?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, why didn't it click? You know, but.
Eclipse? That's what I heard.
Why didn't it click?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Freaking accent.
Nah, you're good. No, yeah, that makes sense, and I think there is,
yeah,
there is a you mentioned on previous episodes, like the whole thing about like being like kind of timid or being afraid. Mm-hmm. I think when jumping into a BIM software, people can be very afraid to like explore or like. I mean, I know in my previous life, yeah, as the elders say,
mm-hmm,
they you know, I was hesitant to be touching their model. Like, yeah, I was working on the project, doing schedules and wanting storefront and whatnot. But I was afraid to be touching things because I didn't want to be moving things. I didn't want to be messing up anything.
Yeah.
But really, I think it's like, you just got to go, you got to dive in, find out new things, find out how to work the schedules, find out how to make certain filters, mm-hmm, how to insert these parameters in different information so that everything is tagging correctly, or find out about like the design options. And then once you're kind of getting more comfortable, you start learning new things, but the only way to get comfortable is to just be like, oh, okay, like I'll take care of the schedule.
Yeah.
Because at one point, like they we weren't gonna be showing schedules, but I was like, for like an SD or DD set, but I was like you just add some filters and then it's all there. Like,
yeah,
we don't need to tag it in the drawing because it's not going to tag correctly, but we can still have a live schedule,
mm-hmm,
and we can just filter it all because it's all named correctly at the very least, like the component.
Yeah.
And if you're just aware of how BIM ticks or clicks,
yeah, like,
it's going to be quick.
Yeah.
It's 2 seconds. Give me your perspective on this. So someone posted on LinkedIn his architecture hot take. He says, it's a little bit of a read. He says, make a building, not a drawing. The sooner you realize drawings need to be buildable, not just pretty, the faster you'll grow in an architecture career. Design is about communicating an idea well enough that the other person understands it. In architecture, that means a contractor needs to be able to build what you want them to. That means the drawing you make is all, that means the drawing you make also represents the deeper thought than its graphic qualities alone. Why is the wall you drew metal stud and not wood? Why is the foundation edge 1 foot, 2 inches off of the column center line? Why is the chase size for wall mounted toilets? A drawing needs to be legible, but more importantly, it needs to convey intent. Architects are more than just drafters. Don't just draw it. Understand why you're drawing it that way.
I totally agree.
That's pretty good.
100%.
He said it really well. He said it pretty good.
Yeah. I actually understood him.
Yeah, I know, right? Before I would have been like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, I'm just drawing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's totally true. But do you think the people that make the drawings to put together a table are just drafters?
Like a table?
Yeah, like a table. You know how it gives the instructions?
Uh-huh.
And it tells you.
No, like because those diagrams actually, especially if there's like joints and you have to like a dovetail or whatever,
uh-huh,
or like a like male female and they actually have to go together,
right,
or slide in and then it connects.
Uh-huh.
Like you can even slide in, then you put a pin through and it holds a joint,
mm-hmm,
together.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not just drafting it; they need to fully understand
how to put it together,
how to actually put it together.
Yeah.
So if you look at it on a smaller scale like that, that's true, because when you look at a larger scale, you actually have to make sure that things are stacking and things are going to be able to fit together.
Yeah.
And things, I mean, you have to be thinking about like the brick ledges, or make sure brick's not going to fall off because the building's settling as,
yeah,
it's higher, or you do need that offset. Like, you don't put the foundation on the edge of the column or the center line of the column for whatever reason. You need that offset, but you got to know that reason. And if you don't know the reason, then you're not going to draw it like that.
Right, it's gonna be different.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what he says, like you need to understand the why you're making, mm-hmm, the drawing
and not just drawing it just, yeah, for the, because someone told you or for the fun of it.
Exactly.
Something he mentioned was something Suzette had mentioned on the podcast,
mm-hmm,
was the biggest thing that she emphasizes with a client,
oh, making that connection,
Right, and the communication. So he mentions design is about communicating an idea well enough
exactly
that the other person understands
exactly
it, but also having that communication with the client so that they know what you're providing and you know what they want you to provide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially, and it goes smoothly. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole construction, you know, everybody understands everything, everybody understands everybody, and...
Which ends up actually giving you more referrals. Or
I was going
to
say that, yeah.
Which I was about to go into because you had asked me about it. So with the job, the clinic, right? The IV clinic. Mm-hmm. She messaged me asking for some changes. And, you know, I said, no problem. Like, just send me an email and this and that. So she said, will do. She sent me the email. And then the client was like, I also wanted to thank you for your professionalism, punctuality, and patience. I would definitely recommend and refer your services. And I was like, okay.
Nice.
All right. I was able
clapping,
to.
Clapping.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I was actually able to.
Yep.
Sometimes when I send something and the client like maybe doesn't see it and they're asking me to do stuff, and I was like, well, I already sent you the drawings. Please review it. Or you know, I'm texting my clients, right? And they're kind of telling me things to change. I'm like, oh, well, okay. Like, can you send an email with after you review the entire thing? Mm-hmm. That way I have everything all at once and I can do it all at once. And like, I don't want to come off rude, but that's just a more efficient way to work. So I was getting a little nervous because I'd already sent it and she's like texting me. And I'm like, I'd rather just have it through email, because I've had a client where it was a lot of text messaging and things were getting like lost in translation, mm-hmm. or there wasn't like a clear record of, you know, the conversation,
right?
But she ends up saying this, and I thought back, and I was like, man, like I have really good communication with her when we went. You mm-hmm. know, we actually went late, about like 6:30 ish.
Yeah.
I had originally told her 6, but then I told her 7, but then I was able to tell her 6:30
mm-hmm.
because it was like an hour and a half drive.
Yeah, traffic.
But then we were efficient when we were there, and then asked the right questions.
Yeah.
There was a little misunderstanding because I did ask her what to label the rooms as, and she did tell me room 1, room 2, room 3.
Right.
But then it needs to be labeled as injection room 1, injection room 2, injection room 3. And I told her, well, you know, when we had spoke, you mentioned
this.
Yeah,
I just
remember. And then she said something, you know, if you refer back, the city wants to know what the room and use is.
Uh-huh.
So yes, but then what she had told me was something different, but I was like, can you just compile in an email
mm-hmm.
and I'll get it done for you?
Yeah.
And then when she gave that compliment, I thought back and I was like, dang, like, yeah, Suzette was right. Like, if you have that strong communication,
especially in the beginning,
and you make
you
sure
carry it throughout.
Exactly. And you make sure that you know what they want.
Yeah.
Making sure certain walls are getting demoed or certain spaces are certain sizes.
Yeah.
You know, then the project's going to go smooth and then they're going to keep referring you. And
yeah, especially also if you show that confidence too, that you're relaxed, you're not giving any bad energy, mm-hmm. They can see you're comfortable. They can see that you know what you're doing
mm-hmm.
by, you know, the talk that you're having with a person.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for that job, when we got there, I kind of messed up because, it just felt like they wanted to just kind of get down to business. But,
yeah.
Like, didn't introduce myself or didn't. I mean, we had already been conversating, but... you know, there was someone with her.
Right.
Didn't introduce you, like say my name or whatever. Didn't like, it was just kind of get there and get down
pretty
to business.
Fast. Yeah.
It was quick. I mean, it was dark. It was like close to 7. But that's something that I think would have strengthened
that communication. Yeah.
But I think that like,
we were both focused on like, let's get it done.
Together. Yeah. And like, I didn't think.
I still
should have made the effort, but I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already behind on their project. I feel like at that point, it's like they don't want to waste time.
Yeah, and it's fine. I mean, as long as mm-hmm. you know you submitted what she wanted, so that's
yeah, and
the
she liked
thing.
It.
Yeah, at the end of the day,
and there was a huge difference between
from a freaking
the contractor.
I can't believe they submitted that to the city. It's like, how professional are you? That's how mm-hmm. that's what he shows.
I honestly wonder how much he charged, because he combined the drawing with his services to be a contractor. Well, because
I was
well,
like $5.
Well, nah.
For that drawing.
I need one that goes. No, but think about it. Like, maybe it was a couple thousand to construct and build it all up. Yeah, and he included the drawing in that.
But that's a dumb drawing, though.
That's what I'm saying.
That's literally a kindergarten drawing.
Chicken scratch.
Yeah, literally. It was like the squares.
It was the gridded paper gridded with blue pen.
With a blue pen.
And nothing was labeled. No. Nothing was.
The door was trick.
One trick. It wasn't even centered.
Anyway.
I follow on Facebook. I follow a group called Users of Chief Architect. Oh. So Chief Architect.
I thought you were going to say I follow him on Facebook. I was like, what? No. Okay.
So Chief Architect is another BIM software that I don't, man, I really don't know who uses it except all these people on Facebook.
Of course.
Totally forgot why I screenshotted this, but.
You're going
to
read
it. At one point in time, I wanted to discuss it. So it says, asking for my designer wife, all right? Context, the designer is a wife. Oh, okay. This guy isn't. So he's asking this question for his wife, who is a designer. Mm-hmm. We do pretty much all remodeling. We take measurements for as-built plans to existing surfaces, windows, and doors openings. Our newest contractor says that he would prefer measurements to face of stud and rough opening. That takes a very massive amount of time to back into. So he now this is his question. He's asking, would people suggest him to keeping the as-built plans the way we take them and only give the face of stud and rough opening dimensions for remodeled or new construction? Do you have any suggestions? So I guess the contractor is asking for the as-built dimensions to be dimensioned to the face of stud and the rough opening. Well, how if it's already finished? How are you going to know where the stud is?
That's what you put it to. Oh, I see. Now remodeling. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you
just put a note.
So what we did is,
yeah,
we go and measure as builds,
mm-hmm.
but we don't measure to the stud.
No,
because it's already built.
Right.
So he's not measuring to the stud for as builds. He's measuring what we do, the opening, or the face of the finish.
Right.
But this contractor is saying
wants it to studs.
He wants it to the studs. And then so his question is, you know, what do we do? Do we leave it to the finish, or for these as builds, do we change it to the stud? But you don't know the guts of the wall. You don't, I mean, if it's a house, like, yeah, you know, the exterior is most likely a 2x6.
Right.
But you don't still want to assume that.
Mm-hmm.
And or if it's a commercial space and you have demising walls, mm-hmm. you don't know if the demising wall is a 2x6 or 2x4, mm-hmm. unless you're for sure there's plumbing there.
But how hard is it to just like,
yeah, but that leaves more room for error on your end.
I know. I'm thinking how to.
I would. If it's existing, I would never go to the stud.
Me neither.
I would unless you have existing plans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason why you would.
Mm-hmm. But if he knows, if he's a contractor and he knows, like, well, yeah, this wall only has one jib, you know.
Well, how do you know?
That's what I'm saying. If he's a contractor,
you got X-ray vision.
He knows. Just go to section.
Yo, can you imagine? Like in the future, we have the technology in our eyes to be able to cut a like.
That would be badass. That's what.
Yeah. That'd be crazy, yo. I think architecture would go to the next level.
Well, what would you do then? Just leave it, right?
Well, dimension to the finish, and just say existing conditions or dimension to the finish.
And the new construction is to the stud.
Yeah, if you're remodeling, then sure. If you're doing an addition.
Yeah. But why they gotta be all dramatic about
that's
it?
That's what I'm saying.
Just get your shit together.
What do you think are some architecture, have we done this one? Architecture misconceptions that need to end right now.
I don't think we did it.
So the first one is you can only be an architect if you're good at drawing. True or false?
False.
Been false. It's not true. What are some other skills that architects need to have besides just drawing?
Wait, what?
What are some other skills that architects need to be having instead or in addition to just drawing?
Oh.
Like just because you're not a good drawer doesn't mean you can't be an architect.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because architect is
you can be artistic. More. You can be a nobody. You can be...
You can be serious or...
Well, I'm trying to read it though, but it says like interior design is only for women. Are we in the same one?
Oh, but that's the second one. Go to the first one. Go back one.
Shit.
So what are, okay, come on, Diana. What are skills that architects have besides just drawing? We already mentioned one.
Yeah.
That we just talked about.
Artistic, communication.
There you go. Okay.
Problem solver.
You need to be able to analyze and come up, be a quick thinker, come up with like solutions.
If you're a fast learner, you can be one. If you have passion.
Be able to organize or lay out.
Like, even if you're not an organized person, it'll make you being organized.
We'll make you
if
organized.
You're open-minded, mm-hmm. if you're not, if you don't like, if you, what does it think of outside of the box?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So this post says, you can only be an architect if you're good at drawing. Not true.
Oh, okay. Now I'm back.
You need to be able to do. You need to be able to analyze, problem solve,
right.
have empathy,
teamwork,
and teamwork. Right. So the next one is. Architecture is a man's field. Interior design is for women. So obviously that's not true.
Right.
That's a misconception. So interior design is for all genders and architecture is for all genders.
Right.
Obviously.
Obviously right now it's still there, but.
I mean, not.
Because
I haven't met that much.
But I haven't met an interior design guy. I haven't. 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And I haven't.
I know there is.
No, I know there is.
Like, how many offices have you worked in?
Well, true. But
I mean, it's not like we've been in 30 offices.
No, too. But each project sometimes is a different interior design group.
That's true.
And it's all women.
Okay, I would say interior design is still heavily women, but architecture isn't.
Oh yeah. It's more it's
more equal.
Yeah.
Agreed. You know, and that's because design is about creativity and innovation, not sexist stereotypes.
Agreed.
Now, maybe in like older firms where there's 80-year-olds running the joint, obviously there might be more men because that's what it used to be. But in the past decade, we know that's not true.
Right.
So the next one is, do you think that architecture is just plans and blueprints?
Oh yeah, I was kidding.
Well, that's all I do all day.
I know, right? No, that's
so. If it's not just drawing and blueprints, then what is it?
Managing. There you go, brother.
I can manage.
Research.
I'm gonna manage myself. I'm not gonna manage you fools. You should be able to manage yourself.
Exactly.
No, yeah.
Supervision.
Mm-hmm.
What is?
So people management, product research.
Yeah.
There's a lot of research, a lot of code.
A lot of reading.
Definitely. Logistics and cost supervision.
A lot of
planning out a budget, planning out a timeline for projects and internal deadlines.
Money.
Those are just a few. So architects make no money.
True.
So there's a misconception that architects don't make a lot of money. Starting off, I would say that is true. But to say that architects make no money, I would say that's
false.
That's false.
Totally.
Upskilling.
Is the way to go.
So how we had previously mentioned, this is what the research says, that an architect who doesn't know BIM versus an architect who does know BIM, let's just say they have the same amount of experience, the one who knows BIM will make 40% more of a salary.
Yeah.
So that's upskilling. Architects with advanced digital skill make more than 40% of the industry average. But upskilling, not just in BIM, but in other areas of expertise as well.
Right. If you know what to do. But like, I think it's everywhere. It's all about experience. It's all about what you know. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to put you in a surgery.
Gosh.
Like, if you're like a doctor, like, they're not just going to put someone there that, like, they're going to put someone that knows how to do things, right?
Okay.
So it's the same thing in architecture, the same thing everywhere.
What do you think about this? Because
damn.
My uncle had mentioned something where, like, let's say we obviously have architecture degrees, right? Let's say you dual majored or you went back and you got something in engineering, or better example, you went and got a law degree. Mm-hmm. So now you have two degrees, one in architecture and one in law.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make yourself more valuable to the firm?
I would say yes, because if there's a lawsuit,
that's what I'm saying.
But then, you know, they can jump into you. But
So you have an architecture degree and you're on the production team. You have a law degree, and instead of them hiring someone to do some legal things, maybe they do have someone.
Illegal things.
No, legal. Legal documents. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. They have someone, but then maybe you're the assistant, you know, once or twice a week, you do that type of stuff. Are they paying you for both jobs?
No.
Right?
No.
So does it really make you more valuable? It might make you more appealing, but is that the way of upskilling yourself to be able to get paid more?
Nah. Because
if you have a minor in interior design, they're gonna have you do interior design work, but it's not like you're getting paid both salaries.
No. But you're probably getting paid a little bit more than someone else. Maybe like,
but I think you might have to fight for that.
Probably.
They're not just gonna give it.
Yeah.
I actually got to tell you something later.
Woohoo!
Y'all.
Cheese man.
Okay. So if anybody knows any other misconceptions that come across your mind while listening to this, or know any, feel free to reach out to us on our Instagram. And we'd like to hear some of those. But we're going to end this episode because there is cheese man that I need to spill.
Woohoo!
So.
I just came for this. What do you mean?
Y'all.
I knew you had cheese man.
Did you know that, fun fact, clients are starting to ask for tags in this person's plumbing isometric views? So he's asking, has anyone been having to tag rooms in isometric views? Very curious if you have to, and also how you are doing it. So are you showing room tags in isometric views, or are you not showing room tags in isometric views?
That's cool. We're not.
I'm like, I didn't even know you could tag rooms in isometric views.
No, but you do. You're able to add notes, and I've added notes in an isometric view.
So if you do like a section perspective of a cube, and like you can tag things, and you can tag a door, tag a wall.
That's cool.
And I guess you can tag a room. But
I'm gonna try that on Monday.
Yeah, I've never shown that. I know, it's pretty cool.
Hey, if you're in school, this is a good way to put some cool shit in your drawings.
If you're using Revit,
if you're using
something else,
then see you later.
Too easy.